Haynes Representative Bill Thomas said yesterday that he's 99.9% sure that he'll request a recount in the House District 34 race. Thomas lost re-election by 34 votes to Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins. Division of Elections Director Gail Fanumia certified the race on Friday. She said Thomas has until the end of the day today to file a request for a state-funded recount. Thomas did not want to speak on tape yesterday, but he said while he's fairly certain he'll request a recount, he's more focused on the loss of David Stone, who died suddenly last week. Stone was the deputy commissioner for the State Department of Labor and former CBJ assembly member. Thomas called Stone a close friend for the last 10 years. He said out of respect for Stone, he took a few days away from the election before deciding whether to request a recount. The State Division of Elections on Monday put over 2,400 ballots in the mail for voters near Petersburg to decide on the formation of a new borough. The proposed home rule borough will encompass over 3,800 square miles of land and water in the state's unorganized borough in Central Southeast. The division sent out a total of over 2,400 ballots to registered voters in the proposed borough area. The ballot asks whether to form a new Petersburg borough and also has candidates for mayor, assembly, school board, and hospital board. Fanumiai says voters have a few options for returning their completed ballot.
They can return them by mail at any time. Of course, it has to be postmarked by Election Day, which would be the 18th of December, or it can be dropped off at the city clerk's office.
The division plans to post unofficial election returns on its website on the final day of voting, December 18th. Subsequent counts will happen 10 and 15 days after that for ballots received in the mail. The last incorporation election conducted by the division was for the borough of Wrangell, approved by voters there in May of 2008. The vote in Wrangell was 64% in favor of the new borough and 36% opposed. The Juneau Assembly approved three ordinances on Monday to fund ongoing projects in the capital city. A four-year effort to map low-grade wetlands will be paid for with a $1.6 million State Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development grant. Deputy Community Development Director Greg Cheney explained the project will use LIDAR, or light detection and ranging, and aerial photography to identify wetlands suitable for development. He says the imagery will be ground truth to ensure proper labeling of wetlands.
There will be people on the ground verifying different categories of wetlands. That's one of the big parts of this project. We'll have the initial aerial photography, LIDAR, and then that remote sensing will be used by people who go on the field and actually verify on the ground.
The project is scheduled to wrap up in February of 2016. Meanwhile, the Assembly appropriated another $7 million grant from the State Commerce Department to fund the Diamond Park Library project. That's about half of the estimated project cost. Bartlett Regional Hospital must repay the state and federal governments close to $1 million for 6 years of Medicare and Medicaid billing errors. The hospital also may have to pay penalties for violating federal law. Casey Kelly has more on the story.
The first public acknowledgement of the billing errors came in a memo from hospital attorney Richard Monkman to the Bartlett Board of Directors, included in the packet for Tuesday's monthly board meeting. Monkman said the hospital's patient financial services director reported in April that some emergency department charges were being submitted to Medicare and Medicaid under incorrect provider names. A number of emergency room providers were not properly enrolled in the programs, so hospital staff submitted billings under the name of an enrolled provider instead. In addition, some non-physician services were billed to Medicare and Medicaid at the physician billing rate without documentation that a doctor had seen the patient. Monkman said the bad practices were immediately halted and the hospital board ordered an investigation and audit. The reviews did not find any intent to defraud or misappropriation of funds. All services were performed by licensed, credentialed healthcare providers. However, more than $648,000 in Medicare and $308,000 in Medicaid billings must be repaid. That's about 0.02% of the hospital's charges to those programs from 2006 through 2012. Monkman said the standard federal penalty in such cases is 1.5 times the amount of the billing error. Bartlett spokesman Jim Strader says the hospital has enough money to pay what it owes, plus any fines. He says the issue will not result in any price hikes or requests to the city and borough of Juneau for additional funds. Bartlett Regional Hospital is a city enterprise fund. Its board of directors is appointed by the Juneau Assembly. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
A coalition of healthcare providers and advocates in the state is pushing Governor Sean Parnell to expand Alaska's Medicaid rolls under the Affordable Care Act. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, tens of thousands of Alaskans could qualify for Medicaid if Governor Parnell chooses to open the rolls, and many medical providers could stand to make millions of dollars.
The Supreme Court largely left the Affordable Care Act intact over the summer, though it struck down a key provision forcing states to swell the ranks of Medicaid recipients. Governor Parnell is withholding his decision on whether to expand Medicaid until he gets results from a cost analysis. A few months ago, he indicated to APRN he's erring towards no.
If I had to make the decision today, I would not expand Medicaid for concern over costs and the uncertain future of Medicaid on the federal side.
The federal government pays about half the state's $1.2 billion Medicaid tab, and Alaska picks up the rest. But the Obama administration is offering a much better deal for the Medicaid expansion. It will pay 100% of the expansion in years 2014, 15, and 16. Karen Perdue is the president and CEO of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association, a group that wants Governor Parnell to expand the Medicaid rolls. Perdue says medical providers in Alaska could stand to make hundreds of millions of dollars more over the next decade.
The hospitals would receive about, in Alaska, about $561 million over several years in revenue that probably would not come in the door.
Revenue that would not come in the door if the governor opts to not expand the Medicaid ranks. The number she uses comes from a new Kaiser Family Foundation study released this week. Purdue says hospitals need the expansion and extra revenue because under the Affordable Care Act, providers in Alaska could lose up to $25 million per year in Medicare reimbursements.
Alaska hospitals, most of which are small community hospitals, municipal hospitals, nonprofit hospitals, would really be impacted by the Medicare reductions.
Ann Seacrest is with AARP Alaska. Her take on the expansion.
It needs to happen. It just makes sense.
AARP tends to pick its fights over Social Security and Medicare. But Seacrest says AARP members are not uniform, and an expansion to Medicaid could directly affect them.
Many of our members are still working. Many of them are under 65. We have a lot of our members who are what we call dual eligible.
Dual eligible, meaning able to qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid. The group AK Health Reform estimates that more than 32,000 new people, mostly childless adults, could become eligible for Medicaid under the expansion. Delisa Culpepper is the chief operating officer at the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. Her group funds mental health providers in the state. And though the authority has not taken an official position on the expansion, she says she's excited about Medicaid potentially insuring people who have not qualified before.
Medicaid is a medical model. It makes people have to meet a certain threshold of mental illness in order to get any services, as well as income. And because of that, there are a lot of people that don't fit in and aren't eligible for Medicaid because only certain populations are.
Under the expansion, the rolls would be open to people making less than $18,500 per year. And Culpepper says right now the state largely restricts eligibility to the elderly, mothers, and pregnant women. Because of that, she says, people are being left out.
Medicaid doesn't always fund, especially for the adult population, treatment for substance abuse and alcohol.
There is no deadline for the governor to decide whether to expand Medicaid, but the 100% federal contribution is only good for the first 3 years of the program. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.